Well, we've been exploring all week, haven't we? We've been exploring the true message about Jesus. So Mark has pulled together lots of eyewitness accounts and written all about Jesus. And remember where we started right back at the beginning of the week? We started in Mark 1, verse 1. And it's so good that Mark wrote this because it helps us all to know exactly what Mark wants to say. Mark records that it's the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And it's so helpful for all of us when we start that we know all of what Mark wants to say. So he's clear the direction of the book. And we've been exploring what Mark has to say about the person of Jesus this week. Now, just imagine with me for a minute. Tomorrow, Monday, school holidays, isn't it? Imagine you're going on holiday with your family, and there you are, off in the car, and you stop at the services. And at the services, maybe you're choosing between Burger King and McDonald's, maybe KFC, and there I am. I turn up, and I intrude on your family holiday, and I say, hey, come and follow me. Come on holiday with me. Come and do my stuff this week. It'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Especially for you parents. It would be a bit weird. But we saw that Jesus intruded. Jesus came when the fishermen were busy and he said, come and follow me. This is what it says. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. That was their job. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing the nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. See, Jesus kind of intruded, and they were busy. But what did they do? They left straight away. And do you remember why? Hey, who can remember the actions? Because Jesus has authority over everything. So we have learned this week all about Jesus. And we did see that he has real authority. But the question is, why is it that Jesus could do all these things? Why is it that it was recorded all about everything Jesus did? The amazing claim of the Bible is that Jesus has the power that holds the universe together. He fuels the sun. He drives the planet. He is the one who created all things. Have you heard of the explorer Christopher Columbus? Go on, put your hand up. Who's good? Okay, a few of you. He's quite famous, and we've been exploring this week, so I'm glad a few of you know of him. Now, when he arrived in the Bahamas, he called the locals Indians because he was convinced he was in Asia. He got it completely wrong, didn't he? See, he had mistaken their identity. But this week, as we've looked at Mark's account of who Jesus is, we can't mistake who he is, can we? He's Jesus, God's chosen king. But if that's who he is, why did he have to come? Do you remember on Tuesday, who did we meet in the house that got brought on the mat? Who was it? Who was it? Yeah, it was a paralyzed man. And the house was so packed, people had heard all about Jesus. They were flocking to come and hear about him. And the paralyzed man got lifted through the roof. But what Jesus said to him was a bit surprising, wasn't it? We all thought, paralyzed man, his greatest need must be to have his legs fixed. But when they finally got to Jesus, he didn't tell them that. No, he said his sins were forgiven. Can you imagine being one of those friends, right? Standing up there, looking down at Jesus. You've carried your friend all the way to see Jesus. And Jesus has said, your sins are forgiven. Whoa, you'd be a bit put out, wouldn't you? You'd be a bit confused. Surely the paralyzed man would lay there thinking, Jesus, it's my legs that need saving. not my sin, but actually, we found out this week that sin is our biggest problem, haven't we? We found out that having our sin dealt with really is our greatest need. Because sin is the way we treat God, not living God's way. See, we really deep down, we know that God's in charge, in control, but we don't live like that. We do and say and think wrong things. That's just a result of not living God's way. And the Bible teaches, actually, that sin is a serious problem because it has real consequences. Only Jesus could forgive that paralyzed man. Only Jesus, because he has real authority. He has God's authority to forgive sin. And ultimately we saw, didn't we, that Jesus' forgiveness led him to death on a cross. And let me just read you these couple of verses from Mark 15. Listen to this, and listen out for what's amazing that happens. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And after 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Can you imagine his followers' reaction? Jesus' followers' reaction looking up there. Surely they'd have been gobsmacked. Why was Jesus, God, forsaken? Why had God turned away from his son? It should be us that are God forsaken. It should be us that God deals with our sins. But Jesus, the innocent one, swapped places with us. I want you to imagine for a minute with me. This book has got everything, everything that's happened in your life. Now, that's every good thing, but it's every bad thing too. Everything you've thought, everything you've done, everything in this book, obviously it'll be a lot bigger. Now, if this is you, and this is God, then this book, actually, it separates us from God, because all those bad things, when God looks at us, there's a barrier. Because God is perfect, and when he sees all this, it's a barrier between us and God, and it means we can't have a right relationship with him. But when Jesus came to this earth, he lived a perfect life. He lived perfectly before God, his way. So there was no barrier whatsoever. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took this barrier for us. Jesus was cut off from his Father. So that if we accept this substitution, if we accept Jesus' place, actually, we can have a free relationship with God. But I wonder, is that something that we're accepting? Because Jesus gave his life and sacrificed everything to trade his right place for our sin, to offer his treasure for us. But what did we see? Jesus didn't stay dead, did he? No, Jesus came back to life, proving everything he said was true, proving that he is who he said he is, proving that he achieved what he set out to achieve. And Friday, we saw, actually, that following Jesus isn't always easy. It's not. Living God's way is hard, and sometimes people won't understand what it means to follow Jesus. Sometimes it will make people angry. David Livingstone is another famous explorer, right? And he explored loads of southern Africa, and he found the amazing Victoria Falls. Now, he was an explorer and a follower of Jesus. But actually, he had a really tough time. And his wife died and he got really ill. But this is what he said. Anxiety, sickness, suffering or danger may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this be only for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall be revealed in and through us. See, he realized that following Jesus meant ultimately that we would have life with him, that we could go to heaven. He knew it was hard to be a Christian, but the sure hope of heaven, of being with Jesus forever, was well worth it and made him carry on. Let me do something funny, actually. I'm going to talk to you just for a couple of seconds. I'm going to talk for the next couple of minutes to the people who have brought you, to the people this week who have done a brilliant job dropping you off, spending time in the cafe. Guys, thank you so much. We've really, really noticed this week how much people have got behind the week. And we really want to say thank you for coming into the cafe, being involved, dropping off, and coming and supporting this morning. We're really, really thankful. But I would just wonder, as you've come in and you've just seen bits and pieces, you've seen bits and pieces of what we're doing, you've seen the leaflets coming home and all kinds of things like that, I wonder if you've just stopped and thought at any point, why is it that so many leaders have given up a week of holiday to make themselves look a bit silly, have a bit of fun? Why is it that they've done that? Now, we've done that really because of what we're doing. We're absolutely convinced of the person of Jesus. So where we started at the beginning of Mark, where Mark writes and accounts about who Jesus is, the good news about the Messiah, the Son of God, we've been here this week and we've put it on and we've invited you this morning because we really believe it's true and we'd love to share it with you. Now, I wonder, just as I say that, if you've given the time to think about that question of who Jesus is. Because Mark was so convinced of who Jesus was. He began the gospel by saying, this is who he is. Absolutely clear. And everything in his book was directed towards that. And the second verse of Mark, he wants to say, actually, it measures up against everything the Old Testament said about it, about Jesus. So years and years before, the Old Testament accounts all of what Jesus was going to be like. And Mark wants to say, this is who it is. This is who is promised. And this is who we want to talk about. So this week, we've been pretty intentional, pretty obvious about speaking about Jesus, because actually we really believe what Mark has to say is true. Now, over the last couple of months in church, actually, we've had people come to say that and say we believe in Jesus for the first time. And that's been really exciting. And in a couple of weeks, we're having a baptism service, which we'd love you to come and join us with. It's a real opportunity to see how people have come to understand who Jesus is and think about who he is for the very first time. Because in the middle of Mark that we came to, Jesus turns to his disciples and asks this question, what about you? Who do you say I am? And Mark crafts his book very carefully to say, actually, to every reader of this book, it really matters who you say Jesus is. And Mark became convinced of the identity of Jesus. And we as leaders have become convinced of the identity of Jesus by looking at who he is and looking at what he did. And we'd love to do the same with you and look at that for yourselves. And maybe some of what's gone on this week, some of what you've seen, some of what you heard has resonated with you. Maybe you've kind of thought, okay, maybe I'll give this a bit of thought, but you're not sure what to do with it. You're not sure where to go next. Later on in Mark, a man comes to Jesus, and he comes to Jesus with this question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Massive question, isn't it? What must I do to inherit eternal life? This man was clearly looking for answers. This man clearly wanted to know what was going to happen when he died. And Jesus' response is really interesting. Jesus continually points back to himself. Jesus says, follow me. Jesus says to this man, come to me. Jesus is very clear about making claims that the answers to these problems is found in his own identity. And the final phrase he leaves with this man is, what is impossible with man is possible with God. See, what Jesus does as we think about who he is he continually points back to himself. So I'd love to challenge you and ask you today, if you've thought at all about what Jesus is saying, about who Jesus is, well, really Jesus says it himself, don't let it go. Don't leave it. Because Jesus wants to continually point back to himself. And what he says, it's impossible with man, is possible with God. Well, Jesus wants to claim actually that the answer to these big questions, they will not be found elsewhere. That's what Jesus says. So if you are challenged by the person of Jesus, if you want to be sure about who he is, we'd love to look at this course with you. What we've been doing in the mornings is actually an adult course that's been adapted. And look, really all it is it's Mark's account of who Jesus is. And it's going through it, thinking about who Jesus is, whether what he said was true, whether or not it's relevant to us, whether or not actually his identity really means something for us. See, when we recognize that problem of sin in our life, when we're unsure about what's happening when we die, when we've got those big questions, Jesus always points back to himself. And actually, in Mark's account, Mark makes it very clear that it's urgent. It's not something that can be parked. He says at the beginning of the gospel, the good news about Mark, and then he goes on to say that Jesus' first accounted words there are repent and believe the good news. See, this account of Jesus is not messing around. Straight away, it's outlining Jesus' life and his mission. So this morning, if you're sat here thinking, I'm not sure about any of this, I'm not sure about just who Jesus is, I'm not convinced of his identity, I'm not sure what that means for me, well, we have loads of things going on at church. The baptisms, where people are going to explain how they came to trust in Jesus. The Christianity Explored course, looking at the person of Jesus and his life. And we would absolutely love to look into it, because we really do believe that what Jesus said is true. And it's the most important news, just as Mark said, that it is absolutely fundamental. So we would love for you to come and join us anytime.